So we speak about attachment. I'm not a specialist on the psychology of attachment. I'm not a specialist on the psychology of religion. I'm just a psychiatrist. That means that indeed we studied for years with Sylvia spiritual coping on schizophrenic patients with many cohorts now. And we wanted to go further in this study on attachment. So it's a new study. Which is not yet published, and it's a very preliminary results. They are not yet arranged in a publishable way, but these are the results anyway. So it's a research which has been conducted with Sylvia, with Isabel Ribben, who was the PhD student who did the interviews, and Pierre-Yves Bran, who was the chairman of the theology and the science of religions in Geneva and Lausanne, and who is still in Lausanne for, as a professor of theology and religious sciences. Voilà. So my main topic in research, but also in clinics, is schizophrenia and psychosis. So I guess most of you know what the psychosis is, and most of you have learned some basis about attachment, according to Baldi this morning. I guess everybody was there this morning. Yeah, so maybe I'm not a specialist on this topic, so I view it the way a psychiatrist like me views it. So schizophrenia involves both positive symptoms, that means sometimes delusion and hallucinations, and some negative symptoms, that means affect flattening and things like that. And there are a lot of consequences in terms of kind of living. So what are the goal domains we have in life? That's Emmons who wrote on this this issue, this topic. We have work, we have our body, we have some relations, and we have spirituality. And what happens to patients with psychosis? Almost none of them work. They have less relationships as compared with normal population, and they have also physical health, which is often impaired. So spirituality may become the most important things for them. That's what we've been studying for about 10 years now. So I won't be too long concerning this issue. We showed that in three areas, here in Geneva, in Quebec, and also in the Koenigs country, Koenigs area, they recruited about 60 patients, and now it's about to be published. We have about the same figure that religion, globally speaking, religious coping is positive in about 70% of times for patients with psychosis. There is no religious coping for about 15% of patients who do not believe, usually, and in 15% of cases the coping is negative. Led to this paper, which is 6 years old already, and we went further to look, as you mentioned, to look at what happened if we do a spiritual assessment with very regular psychiatrists. We teach them a short introduction as to how to perform the spiritual assessment. And we saw in a randomized trial of two times 40 patients with or without spiritual assessment, and what happens for them. That's what we studied, and we are able to show that nothing catastrophic happened with this population of patients who underwent spiritual assessment. There was a lot of things which could have been worked by psychiatrists, both in a psychiatric and a psychotherapeutical perspective. In Switzerland, for those of you who do not know that, we are both psychiatrists and psychotherapists. That's not the same for every country in the world. So we did a list of all issues that could be discussed with patients. So what about religious spiritual coping? it's all the work of Pargament, who came here last time, and who, I guess you know Pargament. But spiritual coping has several purposes, several goals. It gives there is a spiritual dimension, a dimension of self-development, a dimension of sharing, that's what will interest us today more, and a dimension of restraint. People who are believers can restrain some of their behaviors. So for people with schizophrenia, as I showed you in the first slide, the problem is often the one of the loneliness. People with schizophrenia have less friends, they have big problems to socialize, so they often feel alone. So during the research on coping I mentioned just before, it appeared that many patients seem to rely on spiritual figures to maybe overcome their feeling of loneliness. So that leads us to attachment. So Baldi is the master of this concept of attachment, which can be formulated, as it has been told this morning, as an innate attachment behavioral system, which could be, it's difficult to speak about genetics in English, but it helps people to survive. So the genes involved in this system should be as selectionized.
It's an evolutionary advantage also.
It confers an evolutionary advantage to people. So we have to be attached to others. If not, we have more risk to die. So
survival of the fittest, survival of the best attached.
The best, not the more.
Most securely.
So, where am I? So this system motivates to seek proximity to significant others. It's obvious for children. If a child does not look after his or her mother, he will have a lot of problems. And Baldi showed, and Ainsworth showed, that attachment can be secure or not secure. You have learned about that this morning. And insecure attachment can be anxious, that means preoccupied. There are a lot of words for these two categories, or avoidant or dismissive. That's the word which can be used for this concept. So attachment is secure or not, and when it's not secure, it's anxious, preoccupied, or avoidant, dismissive. Okay? So it is postulated and proved by research that attachment style is related to attachment figures, mostly parents, and that secure attachment provides the advantage of a secure sense of self. It helps to regulate emotions, and it helps to get social skills, including in the field of intimate relations. So, in the opposite, attachment insecurity can be viewed as a general vulnerability to mental disorder. That's the way it is considered now. And it has been shown that attachment insecurity is related to various psychiatric disorders. I say related, not causal of. That's important. So, attachment can be viewed with these categories, secure versus insecure, but we had a workshop 2 days ago in Lausanne with Grandquist, and we kind of agreed that it's maybe not a categorical construct, but preferably a dimensional concept. That means that everybody is more or less secure in the quantitative perspective, is more or less preoccupied, anxious, and or more or less avoidant. Also, it appears that maybe there are different kinds of attachment who may give comfort, protection, and so on. You don't have the same attachment, the attachment to a parent does not bring the same help to somebody as may give the attachment to your dog. You can be attached to your dog, to somebody who is important for you, like a child or children, but what you're looking for when you're attached to these children is not the same as when you're attached to your parents or to some authority. So what about psychosis? That's where we will go now. Actually, there are two studies on attachment and psychosis. The first is Dozier's studies, which is more than 10 years old now, 12, I think it's the end of the 20th century, who studied 12 subjects, and Gumler, who just issued his paper. He was also in Lausanne on Wednesday and did a lot of interesting research on this topic by studying 34 first episode psychotic patients. Among those, he found about 26% of secure attachment, which is less than in a general population. Studies on attachment, when we use this categorical perspective, shows that about 60% of people of a general population are of secure attachment, 20% about avoidant attachment, and 20% are anxious, preoccupied attachment, 60-20-20. So for patients with psychosis, it's only 26 versus 60, so far less people with psychosis have this opportunity, this chance to have a secure attachment pattern. So what about religion? Grandquist showed us all that this morning, but just briefly to say, we can postulate that a spiritual figure may be considered to function as an attachment figure if, as for the according to the Baldi criteria, that's not exactly the same Grandquist quoted this morning, but actually there are a lot of criteria, and we took those who we thought were the most interesting for this study. So, attachment behavior are activated for obtaining and maintaining proximity. This notion of safe haven in times of distress. The notion of secure base, it's not the same. Safe haven is a haven in which you are. And this concept of base is the fact that you have a place in which you are and you can go out of this place and come back when necessary. It's inspired by children observation. And then, this notion of separation distress, if you're separated from your object, you feel distress. So, these two hypotheses now, which have been mentioned by Grandquist this morning, there are two hypotheses, mostly two possibilities, even the one of correspondence, that means that secure religiosity comes from a history of secure attachment. If you have secure attachment with your parents, you will repeat it. You will establish a correspondence and you will have a secure relation with a spiritual figure. And the hypothesis or the possibility of a compensation. If you have insecurity in your development, you may use a spiritual figure as a compensation to that problem and try and succeed in having a secure relationship with a spiritual figure. Okay. So that's where we are concerning the background. Now our methods. So we had about 50 subjects. We had 32 patients with psychosis. Out of those, 28 were able to answer to the questionnaires that they had to pass through. And 20 controls, which brought 18 controls. So the participants were outpatients with ICD-10 schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder. I'm the participant control, so I did not have any psychiatric diagnosis. And they were considered to have some spiritual or religious beliefs or practice. And we tried to do a match for age, parents' level of education, and gender. So we passed a semi-structured interview for the religious beliefs, the adult attachment interviews. It's this interview who brings categorical dimensions of attachment, secure versus insecure, and avoidant, dismissive versus anxious, preoccupied, and the symptomatic and the diagnosis instrument, which was very long to go through, 3 to 5 hours for the skill. So for the assessment of spirituality, we had this this experience with our former research on coping. And we added some questions about this spiritual figure. Such as parents' religiosity, participants' spirituality during childhood, changes, actual beliefs, investigation of representation of spiritual figures, and coping strategies. So the adult attachment interview consists on about 20 questions. It's a description. It looks at the narrative of the patients about his early parental relations. And it's coded by an independent rater. We have to pay for that. So this rater is blind to the diagnosis and everything else. And as I told you before, it brings a kind of diagnosis of secure versus insecure and avoidant versus preoccupied. And it goes through this description of internal working model. So what is an internal working model? Conquist spoke about that this morning. So an internal working model could be a kind of a schema in cognitive therapy. It's beliefs, so it's requires to access to attachment-related memories. It's beliefs related to others' image, goals and needs related to others, and strategies to achieve this goal. So it's kind of internalized model of relationships to others. So what about the results? So as in the other studies on psychotic patients, we saw that we had a lot of patients with insecure avoidance style, attachment style. That means about almost 70% of patients, instead of about 20 in the general population. So we are correct.
The significance of 0, 0, 0, 0.
It's
0, 0.
Highly significant. for this comparison, we did not use our 20 general population sample because it was too little. We use a report. We saw also that in accordance with quite recent literature on the subject that patients with psychosis had a lot more traumatic experiences during their childhood. That means that they had a more separation. The blue are the patients and the red are the controls in person. So they are a lot more likely to go through a separation from their parents.
But here you say believing patients. If I understood well, it was random whether they were believers or not believers. And here you say believing patients. Did I misunderstand or?
I think it's a mistake because control were believers.
I simplified the method actually because we tried to take random patients, but all of them were believers.
Okay.
So all patients are believers, and for the controls it's okay because we selected them as believers because in the general population around Geneva, a lot of people are not believers, so we had to control for this aspect. Yeah.
So when you submit it, it should be slightly corrected, because if not, the reviewer will be astonished. Because
we do what we say, and we say what we do. No problem. We said we took selectively effectively random patient, but all were believers. So that's we can say that these are patients who believe. So the point here, the important point here is to see that there are a lot of them experienced traumatic events related to their parents. That means violence, separation. It's too separation, violence, periods of separation, sexual abuse, and psychiatric disorder for their parents. And we saw that those who were secure had less symptoms, were less symptomatic. The blue are the secure, and the red patients are the patients in red are the insecure patients, and they have a lot more rating on anxiety, depression, suspiciousness, and unusual thought content. So what about attachment and religious attachment in patients with chronic psychosis? So we had for their relation with the spiritual figure, 64% of patients who had this criteria of having a spiritual figure toward who they were attached. About half of them secure, some of them avoidant, others preoccupied. For the controls, 78 of them were a priori believers. Most of them, 67%, two-thirds of them were secure, and only 11% were insecure, preoccupied, in the anxious side. Okay. So here are qualitative reasons. We always do a qualitative analysis of our data. It brings some kind of proof, at least for the patient who is interviewed. So as an example of attachment behavior, looking for proximity, to read patient 11. The safe haven in times of distress, patient 13. Notion of secure base, the idea of having a protecting angel who watches your step. It helps me to trust others, and separation distress. I could not live without him anymore. Him is a god. I don't know how others can or could. These are examples of an insecure internal working model towards the spiritual figure. This is a patient who wants to keep his or her distance. I don't want to be too close to him. I just want him to help me out. We see that it's a kind of ambivalent process. Safe haven in times of distress. I'm scared he gets tired of me if I ask for help so often. For the secure base, for an insecure internal working model, it gives me a mini protection, but nothing I can count on. So we see there that the spiritual figure does not bring security the way it should for this patient. Separation distress. This is a patient who wouldn't care if she got a spiritual figure, wasn't there anymore. So what about the correspondence versus compensation? This is the big question, to see if people can compensate. So it's not so easy to read this slide, but the point is that for 70% of these patients, we saw the same pattern for parents and for spiritual figures, either secure or insecure. And there were 22% of patients who were insecure with their parents, oops, and who were secure with the religious figure. That's interesting because this gives some way to the idea of, at least for some patient, religious figure can compensate unstable relationship with parents. And for 9% of patients, they had a secure relationship with parents, but they had an insecure relation with their spiritual figure. Okay? An example of transformation. Somebody who trusts his God for everything. This is a control who goes in the other side. He has a secure attachment in the IRE, that means with his or her parents, but an insecure attachment to God. This tackle an issue, it's that this patient may have had a father who was problematic and a mother who was stable. So it's a question of hierarchy. We will talk about that later, what to do in this condition. That's here. So it appears that different relationships in the lifetime can coexist. We can have a mother who is very stable in her relation with us. And we can have a father who drink and so on. So both internal working model will coexist in the self of the patient. So it appears in this study that most frequently the internal working model related to the primary attachment figure is the one activated toward a spiritual figure. It appears also that attachment to a spiritual figure is a dynamic process, and that's interesting in our results. We have to study that a little bit further, but it seems that things can change according to this dimension. So soon finished. Some more results. There appears to be a significant correlation between positive spiritual coping and having a secure spiritual attachment figure for the following dimension of spiritual coping. I mean, that means dealing with anxiety, depression, the dimension of self-esteem, being able to trust others, and finding comfort. Okay, so it appears that if somebody has a secure spiritual attachment figure, they, he or she will have more dimension of religious coping, which will be positive for dealing with these various aspects. Conversely, insecure avoidant attachment is a predictor of early development of psychosis. That replicates Gumley's research with first episode patients. Insecure avoidant attachment is related to an early beginning of psychosis, which is, for those of you who may not be familiar with psychiatry, the earlier the psychosis, the worse the prognosis. So the question is to know whether insecure attachment may be a cause, or at least is associated with an increase of psychopathology. We cannot, as Grandquist told us this morning, we cannot speak in terms of cause, but in terms of association at this point. So, conclusion. Many patients with psychosis are able to build a stable relation with a spiritual figure, mostly 70% of them. Having a stable relation with a spiritual figure is associated with overall positive religious coping. It's part of coping, actually. There is a hierarchy of internal working models which can be activated toward a spiritual figure. So there can be a dynamic process, sometimes compensating early attachment pitfalls. And more globally, attachment concept may help understanding the non-specific factor, the so-called non-specific factor of psychotherapeutic interventions that because It appears that all psychotherapeutic care bring more or less some non-specific factors helping the patients. Voilà. If you want to read more about spiritual coping, there is this book we edited with Koenig 3 years ago now. Voilà. Thank you for your attention.